Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, it is the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show here on Redmen TV YouTube. I am Paul Machen, Ross Chanley and Chris Pajak join me in the studio. Counting down, wow, what a madness appears. Liverpool Man United, Old Trafford, Sunday, 4:30 kickoff.
Sunday?
Flipping Sunday. look, we'll dive into it. We've got plenty of things to talk about, least of all the fact that we support, you know, a brilliant football club. It's always nice to have a good old chat about that. But Ross, Liverpool United, huge.
I can't work out whether I'm mentally over Tuesday's game yet and whether I'm prepared for this one to put myself through the ringer again. It was quite nice last night watching the game that was end to end. I wasn't emotionally involved.
It wasn't us.
It's like, it's hard to sit back. You don't have to worry about any of this. It's fine. It's good. But yeah, always a huge game. Record's not great there, but you know, we've done right so far this season. Well, unbeaten in 21, make it 22.
To expand on your point, our record isn't not great there. We've won 5 of the last 22 league games. So in this century, we've won since the 21st century happened. We've won 5 league games at Old Trafford in total. But we won the last one.
Yeah.
So that's something, right? I'm very careful about how we talk about this because it matters so much, doesn't it, Chris, these games where I don't like talking down our opposition. And
it doesn't matter though, does it? No, it doesn't.
But also, again, it's just how we are around big games of football, particularly enemies, and it matters more than normal games, is that it is a, yeah, we've had a lot of fun this season talking about Manchester United and a lot of fun talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
And we will do.
And hopefully we'll have more fun in the future to come. But, look, I mean, the thing is, they came through a tough one in midweek. They were, in your words, you were sat here pre-filming and went, they were dog shit in the first half. It's weird because you're now seeing a different narrative. I'm seeing a 50-50 split between people who aren't Bezzy mates with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going, well, that's not really good enough. And, you know, they can't keep having to bail themselves out with late goals and all that kind of stuff. And I'm seeing the other ones go, well, come on, let's look away from the fact that United aren't great and they haven't got a great tactical plan and they're not very good defensively and they've got a lot of issues and lack of quality midfield and blah, 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 blah. That was a great comeback win. We should be enjoying those moments. I think that's actually a perfectly fine analysis to some extent. They just come down from 2-0 down. They were coming into this game. If they'd lost that game, they would be they'd be ruined by the time we got to this game.
I'm all about enjoying your wins when you get them.
Yeah.
I would have gone mental if that was a result for Liverpool where we've come back from 2-0 down at Anfield and won 3-2. I would have. But I would also like to think that I'd recognise that he's not good enough at the same time.
Yeah.
And they can both go hand in hand. Enjoy the win, enjoy the night, have all the fun in the world, but he's still not good enough for Manchester United.
Yeah.
And he never probably will be good enough for Manchester United. And that's the difference. And that's why Paul Scholes, and I hate the way like they just kept that Paul Scholes last night because he didn't really have any more to say than his first sort of monologue about it. Like, he doesn't think he's good enough. He doesn't think that the tactics were good enough. And he didn't think the performance was good enough. But he kept on baiting him and baiting him and baiting him. And I'm sure that's all that's been spoken about on Twitter, in Manchester United Twitter today, and I'm sure he's got dogs abuse for it, but he's not wrong. Like, if you go against a good side like that, you're likely to get picked off.
I actually got a sense of that the other week doing the Gary Neville overlap show where I think Neville, I never let them double down on this on Monday Night Football. I think he's keen to not throw Ollie under the bus. His logic is, which I'm kind of noble in some regards, of like, he's staying this season, so it's not even worth talking about. Well, that's great, Gary, but it's also, you know, this is how footy works. So it is your job. You're getting paid. We're paying you a lot of money to speak on that, and that's how it is. We're Sky subscribers paying a lot of money for that, for the pundits on there to do the job. Whereas Paul Scholes, in there, you could sense he's just a bit. He's not asked. He hasn't got a media profile to protect, and he is very dry. I don't think he's a particularly great pundit, but I also get in the sense, to Chris's point, he was him coming out and speaking quite openly about it. That's the cracks are starting to show there. Yeah.
But I think he said himself last night. He said, "I know I get abused for this, but here's my opinion." Sorry, I was trying to do that way. he will get it, but I like that honesty. That's what I want as a neutral fan. I know he's my United player, and my United legend. But people want that kind of that honesty. Neville can still say he's tactically inept or he's not good enough, but without saying he wants him sacked. You know,
but you can't, as you're associated with Manchester United, because they've been given it the on the high horse about how good football and titles and all that kind of stuff for too long.
It's an accumulation of different things. So I think we played like Newcastle, Villa, West Ham, and there's another game in between that where they haven't been good enough and they're showing signs. And I tuned into Mark Goldbridge last night, I think it was at half time, and he said, why do Manchester United have to be a goal or two goals down before they turn up for these games? And that's where it's the players that are either going against the tactics or they're going, oh shit, the fans are on our back, we need to do something. And I was having some conversations yesterday and everyone's saying the same thing. Man United have been crap for the past 3, 4, 5 weeks. They've broke the luck, they've been a moments team, but you can guarantee on Sunday, because it's Liverpool, because it's Old Trafford, those players that have been shite will turn up.
Yeah.
But it depends on whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer decides to put them in a 4-2-4 formation or not.
Yeah.
I very much doubt that he will. I very much think it's going to be, you're not going to like this Old Trafford, but we're going to play counter-attack at home against Liverpool, and we're going to look to try and get whoever it is, probably Rashford, in behind Trent Alexander-Arnold. He did pick up an injury, didn't he? But I don't know whether he was out or what, like, you know what I mean? But it doesn't matter. Whoever's playing against Trent, that's all they looked for. You know, it was Harry Maguire, it was Luke Shaw, it was ball over the fullback. Yeah. Atlanta were playing a high line, and that's the way that they've played against us recently. I imagine that's the way that they're going to play again against us. And are we going to be able to deal with that and control the game and win the game? Because it's going to be a raucous United, especially if there's rumours of other stuff going on around the game as well.
The idea, by the way, I'm sorry, and I know Liverpool United is the biggest spectacle, so if you're going to make a protest, which is, I think, what you're referring to, if you're going to do it again, then it is the one with all eyes on Sunday, you know, afternoon, footy, Super Sunday, the whole world's watching that game. So I get it, that's still the biggest platform. But I'm sorry, lads, but where have you been? Where have they been all summer? With these protests, again, this is the problem. The message gets undercut with all this stuff. I just find it absolutely, absolutely mad. You know,
it's like green and gold until our tactics get old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Until our Ronaldo, we get bored of our Ronaldo celebrations. It's not as catchy, admittedly. But I wonder whether you'll end up with a pitch battle about the lads all in there doing the Ronaldo celebrations out the front in front of the Holy Trinity, and the lads who have got the green and gold Harry Potter scarves desperately trying to batter the doors down. To the point, actually, by the way, you know, let's see what happens with all this, because you know, England's next European qualifier is going to be played behind closed doors because of fans kicking doors in to get into grounds and stuff. I wonder if there'll be any proper sanctions against United if something happens this time. But again, not that I'm opposed to protests, because they should be protesting their owners. But falls a bit on deaf ears. But you're right, on the pitch, that's going to be a mega atmosphere. And this way, again, let's do it. First time this season. Derby game, in inverted commas, form book goes out the window, they'll be baying for blood, and it's going to be a big atmosphere. It's going to be a completely different game of football to last season because of that. But it's Liverpool's mission to make it that game again,
You talked about Liverpool's record at Old Trafford not being good. It's terrible. You mentioned the stats earlier. But actually, if you look at the last 10 Premier League games, they've only beaten us once. You know, we've had 6 draws in that time, which probably is too many that I like, you know, too many for me, but we've beaten them 3 times. You know, so actually on the balance of play, I said it on the starting 11 show earlier, I'm taking a draw at Old Trafford every season, like no matter where they are in the league table, because to me, it doesn't matter how good a side they are. They are Manchester United, and that's a tough fixture for Liverpool. Whether it's a tough fixture for City or Tottenham or whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, Arsenal, it's not the same rivalry as Liverpool and Manchester United have. It's like Everton's a tough fixture for us. It's not for 19 other teams in the Premier League, or there's loads of teams that don't think it's a tough fixture because it's just not the same as when Liverpool play Everton. Liverpool Man United, there's a tough fixture. I'll take a draw now because it means it didn't get beat.
Yeah, no.
Having said that, though, our away form is pretty decent so far this season. I know you said throw the form out the window. Our away form is incredible so far this season. But was it? But we scored 3 goals in the past 8, is
and,
it?
And they're less good at Old Trafford. Their away form is the thing that everyone's been making a stink over in 2021.
But that's what I think they'll get to play counter-attacking football.
Yeah.
Which is what Ollie wants because it's what he knows.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, if you were going to pick an approach to play Liverpool at the moment, that's how you would do it. That's absolutely how teams are getting joy against us, is by committing men to attack and going, well, we'll trust that we'll hold out and we'll, you know, we just won't stop attacking Liverpool because you kind of might as well.
No, not with Harry Maguire at the back.
Well, we'll see what their availability is like, of course, in due time. But maybe. But also, would anyone have said that Brentford's defence should be absolutely exceptional and all that kind of stuff? You don't know, do you? The point is that Liverpool are still vulnerable. There's very few teams in the world that aren't vulnerable to counter-attack if you're going to commit men to trying to win games of football, which we are, because I think we're equipped to face off against teams who park the bus, because that's how everyone undid us last year. And there haven't been too many teams that have actually done that. The one certainly that causes problems haven't. Right, we've got a few more. Obviously, we've got loads more things to talk about in this game. But we actually spoke to the aforementioned Mark Goldbridge of the United Stand to get an opposition preview from him. That full thing is streaming on the RedmenTV.com. But here's a clip from that.
If I had to bet, I think he would go with a back four, which he saw last night. So Shaw, Maguire, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka. I can't imagine he won't pick McTominay and Fred, even though I'd love to imagine it. He's obsessed with these two players, and they are very energetic, but they're not very difficult. The thing is about them is that people think they're not very good at passing, and they're not, but they're also terrible defensively. They don't win many 50-50s, and they definitely don't pick the runners. So if you've got people running from the midfield, they don't pick them up. Rashford will start, Bruno will start, Ronaldo will start. So I suppose the only debate point is if he will go with Greenwood on the right-hand side, which he seems obsessed with doing. But again, I think it plays into Liverpool's hands because two wide forwards who want to score goals, you need a bit of balance there. But I can't see him throwing Sancho into a game like this. So I'd say he'll probably start with the same team. As much as I disagree, I think he will.
So no Pogba. And would that be the right call for you? Would you want Pogba in the team? I know he was left on the bench last night.
I would want Pogba in the team because I think, it's a failing in coaching that you can't get the best out of Paul Pogba yet. A couple of weeks ago, he's winning the Nations League and he's in the halftime giving basically a speech. And it's like, whatever anyone thinks about Paul Pogba, he's a fantastic footballer and we don't get the best out of him. So I appreciate that Pogba in a United shirt hasn't been great at times, but we definitely don't get the best out of him. And I don't think football's for people if they think Scott McTominay should be starting ahead of Paul Pogba. It's just like, I know McTominay will give you an honest desire and passion, but it's a failing in coaching if you've got to go for that over a footballer. And Paul Pogba's a footballer.
Amazing, Mark Goldbridge of the United Stand having a good old chat with Steele, streaming now on the RedmenTV.com. Yeah, talking about failure of coaching of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Great, loads of that. I genuinely love Oppo previews with United fans when they're not very good, because I like it almost as much as Liverpool content.
Well, it's the one week, as you say, where we're not allowed to slate them, so let them do it. Brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Go and check that out right now. We've had a bunch of super chats. Trig Josh kicked things off early doors. Said, "Hi guys, when Liverpool beat Man United at Old Trafford, will that be Ole's game over and set coins to continue?" Ronald's recommended. Ronaldo's recommended Zidane to the board. Yeah, it could well be that moment for him, Josh.
I think Ronaldo's going to become player manager and then take the captain's armband off Maguire and give it to himself.
I'm telling you, that's the only thing I can see happening. One of two things is going to happen, because all this stuff is like they won't sack Solskjaer, but if we were to do it well, I don't think it will go that way necessarily, but if we were to put an embarrassing defeat on them and they have another couple, because they've got an actual run of fixtures coming up, haven't they? If they were to struggle in them, they might just be faced with no choice. It's all well and good, Gary Neville going on Sky and going, "Oh, they won't sack him. They won't sack him." Gary, they will, because the fans will lose their heads and they'll have no choice, and that's the problem with it, they'll have to face. Yes, there's talk of Zidane, but I can, the only thing I can see ever happening is Ronaldo coming in, literally. It wouldn't shock me if Ronaldo came in as like a player coach, but like maybe Ferguson comes back in as some sort of like...
Days.
Yeah, and imagine...
I literally had this conversation with someone the other day, and part of the reason that they won't sack him, which is, says a lot about it, is there's no one out there. You could keep him because who else is there who's going to go and take the job?
Yeah, Zizou, that's it. Yeah, we got a great comment here from Liam Bento saying, nightmare scenario, Solskjaer sacked after losing to Liverpool and United hires Diego Simeone as a replacement.
It's hard enough playing United without that.
Yeah, I mean, at least we'd be done with Old Trafford for the season by the end of this weekend. That'd be something.
That would terrify me, but they wouldn't sign him because he's not... It's not the United way or whatever
it's not
it is.
Yes, man, is he?
Yeah. And also, yeah. And at the moment, I'm not sure he would necessarily want to walk out on Atletico at this point. I mean,
he did after the game, neither thing.
Well, yeah, he was on Klopp, didn't he? Minch back. Doesn't shake hands. Yeah. Do you not, Diego? Why have we not heard this about Diego Simeone prior to.
He didn't need to do this and then run off.
Yeah. Eva Pettersson with 55 knocks, thank you, saying, where does Salah rank amongst the Premier League greats, just quickly?
Greats. Oh, third.
Okay, wow. Really bit specific at the behind. Oh, I was going to Henry and Shearer.
Fourth.
Are you sure of the one?
And Aguero, where I was going to go.
Yeah, he's top five.
I think in the top, because I don't think it's not been long enough since Aguero leaving for him to find his ranking and where he fits and all that, because I think he still gets, I know he doesn't get forgotten about because
I didn't
moments,
forget about him then,
but no, but I think in a general sense people don't mention him in the same breath as the great ones, which he should do because he's a great goal scorer. I think Salah, if he carries on like he is this season, people will think of him the same way they think of Thierry Henry, because not only does he score the goals, he gets the assists to go with it as well. So yeah, interesting.
I just went strikers then, by the way.
Yeah,
because otherwise Gerrard's up there, like.
Yeah. Liam Bento with 35 Zars. Any particular reason why Madame Tussauds would make Mo Salah look like a Miami Vice villain masquerading as a nightclub owner?
That's so true.
What have they done? Can anyone answer me the question? Because we've been talking about this in the office all day. Salah, if you haven't seen it, check out our Twitter, by the way. Salah's gone in this, like, what?
An Instagram. Follow them all.
Yeah. Thanks, Ross. and vote for us in awards in future as well. He's got the big collar, the white suit, no shirt on underneath. Someone's made that decision, and it's probably Mo Salah. And I can't fathom what was he offered options? Was he given the option of a Liverpool kit? Was he given the options of, like, a trackie? Did he just go? Or did he go, no. Scrap it all. Here's this suit that I've bought, and I haven't got the bottle to wear it in real life, so can you put it on me waxwork?
I don't know. Like, the no-share thing was a bit strange, wasn't it, really, for me? It's just like, it's a bit like Miami Vice meets The Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, he's been plugged into The Matrix, but he's gone somewhere really nice, rather than a hellhole.
Well, I said that was my reading on this is can only be, it's like The Matrix where you become the interpretation of yourself. So that's how Salah sees himself. He sees that as being like his best version of Mo
Salah. And there's
me
looking back at my 17-year-old self thinking, that was me, I peaked.
You'd have like long sleeve t-shirt underneath a short sleeve t-shirt and undercut.
Absolutely, a worker's shirt going on, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, weird.
Maybe a bike chain hanging from my combat.
David Fern with another super chat. Flying in. Thank you so much, everyone. What was the result the last time out at Old Trafford with Ronaldo in their lineup?
I've no idea.
I'm presuming he means the 4-1, but I haven't checked that one.
Was that the last time?
Could well be. If everyone wants to corroborate that, please do. Jack Richardson, afternoon, lads. How are we? We're good. Did anyone else hear Savage's commentary last night?
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Me and Ross were talking about it just before we went live, weren't we?
Two words. Viva Ronaldo.
Goodbye.
Good night.
It's three at best. Yeah. Four, possibly. Yeah.
You spell it wrong.
Good night.
Look, there's two ways of being a commentator, I think, and he's gone, I don't want to be dead boring. So actually, at the beginning of when he was starting to get excited, I'll be honest, I was like, oh, this is a nice change, hearing someone who's genuinely happy to be there. But by the time he'd finished wanking everyone in Old Trafford off, I was really bored of it, like, and it was pathetic, to be quite honest with you. Like, yeah, he was brown-nosing Manchester United so much, it was embarrassing.
It was like an attempt to try and claw at being Liverpool's famous European nights.
Yeah,
it's what it felt like, and it's not.
Yeah,
it's not.
Nope. It's the group stages, lads.
Yeah.
Again, it's the group stages. Chill out. I mean, it's good to get good results, and it's good to have late wins. Late equalisers are great. Let's not take away from it. But yeah, it's the group stage against Atalanta. I mean, to be fair, we lost to them at Anfield, so it's.
Yeah, they went missing two players though.
Trick Josh, will Man United offer a straight swap for deal for Salah for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to top Real Madrid's insult? I still think I'd rather have Eden Hazard than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, to be fair. But
we've got a backup striker.
I'd have Ole doing like the stadium tour, the museum tour, and just have him positioned outside
the one he won.
Yeah, he can just go, and this is the one that I won. And you're like, which is now owned by Liverpool Football Club. Well done. Prick. Great. Right, yeah, we're going to talk about Liverpool's selection headaches and all that good stuff to come in a few moments. But we have got a trivia question. Liverpool and United drew 1-1 at Old Trafford in their first league meeting of the 21st century, but who scored the goals? Everyone, mates, here. We've got a fantastic brand new show for you streaming now on the RedmenTV.com. It is The Debate Show, a fantastic new addition to our amazing Liverpool lineup on our streaming platform. In this segment from that, you're going to hear us debating if we had to swap three of our first team players for three of Man United's players, what would we do? What would we do? Listen to this. Right. Gun to your head. Someone forces you to trade three of Liverpool's starting 11 for three of Manchester United's starting 11 for the game at the weekend. And to clarify this, it means that the three players that are coming out of your team go straight into their starting 11, and the three that come out of their starting 11 go straight into our starting 11. And there's an obvious, easy way out of this that you could cheat it by just handing off a load of crap or perceived crap or lesser players from Liverpool's squad and getting good players from United. That's not the case for a number of reasons, because let's say you trade out Nico for Cristiano Ronaldo, you've still got to put Cristiano Ronaldo in your squad, so you're still losing quality from Liverpool's team.
I think you can be the arbitrator at this point.
Yeah. So it's got to be as fair. My logic on this was almost like pick your starting 11 or pick your 13, 14, 15 from who you'd be made up for them to start at Old Trafford, and you've got to give up three of those for this game.
Can I go first?
I'm so sorry.
Can I go first?
You may.
I
will swap out Andy Robertson for Luke Shaw.
Okay.
Because I think they are both very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not losing too much. And I think Andy Robertson's brilliant, but I'm not terrified of playing against them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some Man United players that I just don't want on my team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Pogba is not getting touched because he is not playing for the Liverpool team. Like, Klopp would kill him.
Yeah.
So that can't happen. I think Robertson and Shaw's skill sets are very, very similar-ish. Yeah. I think Robbo's better than him,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think the drop-off is that much. Like, for example, other areas of the pitch, I think there are too big, there are drop-offs that are too big. So in my head, I'm going for lads who are very similar. So I'm going to pitch Robertson for sure as my first answer. I don't know what your thoughts on that.
Hi, yes, welcome back. The trivia question before we went was Liverpool and United drew 1-1 in their first Old Trafford League meeting of the 21st century, but who scored the goals? Ross Chanley, any guesses?
Danny Murphy.
Incorrect. Scored in the next two.
Ah.
Michael Owen.
Nope.
Dennis Irwin.
Nope.
I'm Emil Heskey.
Nope.
Gerrard.
Nope.
Gary Mack.
Nope.
Reset.
Nope.
No, okay.
Robbie Fowler.
Nope. Guess at United goal scorer?
I did. Dennis Irwin.
No, I've said Anna said
York.
No.
Solskjaer.
Yes.
Hey.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scores the first goal between these meetings at Old Trafford in the
new
millennium.
Don't remember this one at all.
Patrick Berger.
Wonderful left foot.
Was that in the green kit?
I do not
Wonderful
know.
Wonderful left
foot. Probably,
left
possibly, foot. Maybe. There you go.
What's the equivalent of the right footer's wand?
It's not. You can't have a wand of a right foot.
So what is it? A rocket, is it? What is it? Do you say anything?
It's just a positive left. It's one of the few positive lefty things, isn't it, in the whole world?
Oh, I've got a wonderful left. Yeah. What is it? There's got to be something that you can say about someone with a good right foot.
There's no romanticism about having a good right foot. That's the thing. He's got a foot like a traction engine. There you go. Out of interest, I just thought it was quite funny. Liverpool had five subs that day at Old Trafford. I won't even test people on this. Jorgen Nielsen, Rigobert Song, Steve Staunton, Danny Murphy, and Michael Owen. Eric Meyer started for Liverpool in that game. Wait.
You're starting Eric Meyer at Old Trafford?
Alongside Titi Kamara.
Oh my days. Yeah. That is a forward line for the ages. Now, if you'd have told me that that was the forward line for that game, I still wouldn't have guessed either of them as the first goal scorer.
Yeah,
definitely not one of them.
The thing is, they scored so rarely that you'd remember them scoring. Like we'd be watching, we'd have seen that clip a million times if we'd seen them score.
I love Titi Kamara. He's the ultimate cult hero. And then there's Divock as well, to be fair.
Yeah, the ultimate. Right, okay.
Talking of ultimate.
So speaking of ultimate, that's it. We actually got this really interesting thing through from them to find if you want to know how the Liverpool players are performing on ultimate team. The current best performing Liverpool player from all game weeks so far, shock, it's Mohamed Salah, 127 points. Second is Sadio Mane. Third is Bobby Firmino. Bobby Firmino on 58 points, right? But it comes with the stat that he was the ultimate fan player of the week.
He got 41 points last week. He got more than my entire team got. Only by 1 point, but I had him on my bench. Gutted.
Yeah. And just one that I wanted people to keep an eye out for. So if you're wondering, because you get base gold silver cards, the best performing silver cards at the moment, ones to watch out for, Mikel Antonio on 93 points, Timu Pukki's on 68, Mason Greenwood, obviously ahead of this game, Ismail Assar, Syed Benrahma, Bobby Firmino, of course, Matt Bobby's only a silver, Decore, don't get him now because he's obviously injured, Mopai, McGinn and Gabriel Jesus, all not, so, you know, you can get the ultimate fan gold plus things, but it's interesting there. There's some really, really interesting silver players.
I got three gold cards last week on my free pack. Nice. Yeah.
Very nice. How did we do last week?
Not very good. I'll tell you now.
Chris?
I got 40 points.
Nice. And what was the big mistake that you made?
The one that I just told them about 2 minutes ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Bobby on the bench.
Yeah.
Bobby on the bench. I got...
What's the other mistake you made? Not using your captain and your golden boot.
Oh, yeah.
Put them on, ladies and gents.
How many points did you get?
40.
You still got more than me.
78 I got last week. Well made up with that Sadio Mane. Top 28 points I got from him.
Oh, was he captain or something?
Yeah. And Vardy, with me golden boots, got 24 points as well.
Chelsea got 15. They were my highest scorers, I think, which is more than Mane, who got a goal and a couple of shots on target as well.
Different. Yeah, so yeah, obviously you can work out the point scoring system in the app, but yeah, I always find that quite interesting. Right, let's talk about the match this week then. Do we think there's anything, Chris, to be gleaned from what we did substitution-wise? You know, I hadn't really thought about it, but it was something that Neil Jones brought up to me on Journal Insight today, that we subbed the lads on yellow cards very quickly. I hadn't really thought of it that way at the time, because obviously we normally make substitutions based on making sure people are fit and fresh. But his interpretation was, given what Atletico were like when they were down to 10 men in particular, and how they would use the dark arts to their advantage and the crowd, Klopp carefully removed Milner and Trent from the equation. So I don't know whether that... Normally we'd be like, well, that might hint at we might see Milner again this weekend. But
no,
maybe
not for me. I think it's just this Atletico, it's the dark heart. I don't think we can read too much into the Milner one or the Trent one for that, because I think that's the thing that came into my head as soon as we took him off. As far as, I think you can read something into Curtis Jones not travelling, if you want to read something into Curtis Jones not travelling, because I think it's so important that he's ready, that why disrupt him getting fit? Like, that was the big one for me. And whether he's there or not, we won't know, will we?
Giving him every possible chance.
They've given him the chance to be fit and in the starting 11, I think.
I think you can read into the yellow cards in the sense of, not for this one, but we're playing Atletico next. I have Milner and Trent available for them. You kill them, you more or less knock them out of the Champions League and you're through. And you've got two dead rubber games where if they're suspended, then it's fucking sound because we don't have to play anyway.
Yeah, and also, again, just that point of, you could see it with the penalty decision. Like, I know it gets turned over by VAR in the end, but, like, the crowd makes that more likely to happen in those situations, and all it takes is one guy holds his face in a random tackle. You're not getting away with the James Milner Man City thing in the Wonder. But as far as this game goes, I can't see there being major changes
start
for
Fabinho.
This one, really. Yeah, we'll start
Fabinho.
Fabinho's the big one, yeah. Isn't he? And we've surmised that's just to do with obviously training time and a little bit of fitness after the international break, that maybe we've seen this before, haven't we, Chris, where we know how important Fabinho is, and Klopp does, and he'll do everything to safeguard him for the big league match at the weekend.
Yeah, and that's right, because there's no one like that in our squad. It's one of those positions that I think gets overlooked when people talk about transfers. I mean, I don't know how you sign a backup DM, but because Jordan Henderson can do it and because James Milner can do it, it's kind of overlooked. But he's if you measured the drop off from first teamer to the next one in their position, I think right back and DM are potentially, and Salah are the three biggest drop offs. Mm-hmm. With their understudy, as it were, in the squad.
Well, we did, interesting, we did a new show on the on the website this week, the Reds Debate Show, and one of the points was ranking our three most important players. And that it was hard to get it down to three. And Fabinho was one of the ones that ended up becoming quite an important conversation, mainly because recency bias. Of course, because it was so tangible how much more control we had over the midfield just by putting him in at half-time against Atletico. And I think that Chris's point's right there, Ross, is for games like this, I mean, no one's making the case for not playing Fabinho, by the way. I can't think anyone would make the case. But this is undoubtedly just a game where he struggles in for a number of reasons, but for everything we've sort of hinted at already.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see the way Man United set up, because they kind of went like a 4-2-4 yesterday. But I hate him, but I think if he's in your team, you quite like him. It's Bruno Fernandes. Mm. Stop him, stop his supply. But his pass for, was it the Rashford goal, I think it was, where he just played it around the corner, is amazing. You need someone who can read that play and stop it and stamp it out. Equally, the support for the fullbacks, because I'm sure we're going to want Trent and Robbo to bomb forward. I just think, are you right about the drop-off? Henderson can do a good job there, but I think it's hard when you're playing against a good midfield. They play Pogba, Fernandes, and, I don't know, McTominay. That's much better than what Watford put out at, you know, the weekend before. It's difficult, but Fabinho is a must start for me. I don't know why he didn't start against Atletico.
I've got a stat about Bruno Fernandes here. With 26 shots and 31 chances created, United's Bruno Fernandes has been directly involved in a higher share of his team's attempts this season than any other player in the Premier League, 41%. 9 of his chances created have been for Mason Greenwood, with no player setting up a teammate more so far this term, which tells you how important he is, and you know he plays in that area of the pitch where Fabinho is.
Yeah. Another thing as well with him, I think he's shown signs of it before in other games that he's played. If you put someone on him and you frustrate him, you piss him off, his head goes. Look, that should be one of Liverpool's targets. Once they quieten the crowd down, get on him, stop him, but piss him off as well and wind him up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's phenomenal, isn't he? Yeah. Like, you know, yes. I'm not sure if he, you know, for this conversation, not that it's relevant really, because we'll never get to see it, but whether he would function in a Liverpool midfield, but he's that good that you could see.
He works damn hard as well. Yeah. Like, I don't look at him and go, oh, you're a bit weak at that. I look at him and go, what a player.
Yeah.
In every side of it.
Particularly at the moment, you know, given that we're transitioning in the midfield to maybe fit more Harvey Elliott type players into the side, we've clearly got more scope for someone who's more attacking in a midfield. No, he's great. And to be fair, mentioned there, Mason Greenwood. Really like Mason Greenwood. I think again, and low time to say it, Rashford. I'm not jealous of many footballers. Like, to be honest, I like Bruno Fernandes. I'm not jealous of Bruno Fernandes, but because let's be honest, he's just another star that's been bought into the league. But to have two homegrown local lads like Greenwood and Rashford, I know we've got some of our own. So But imagine having another two who happen to play in the front three. You play to either side of a front three, and they're there, and they can be there for as long as they want. They've got pace to bear, and they've got amazing shots, and they've got a great eye for goal. And particularly in the case of Rashford, it turns out that he's actually a wonderful man as well. He's very scouser. I would have him as an honorary scouser any day of the week. Not that many Manx would think that's something to be lauded, but it very much is.
The thing with Greenwood as well is he's such a natural striker, but with both feet. That frightens me because it's unpredictable. Like, you know, I think he highlights a few goals before during the game yesterday of either foot. You know, we can just dummy a bit like Salah, actually, you know, with the Watford and the Man City goals. Like, pick your poison, he might get all come undone.
The only real question, well, there's two. I think it's that, who's that third midfielder?
Yeah.
And is it Jota or Bobby?
Yeah, they're the two questions, aren't they? You're absolutely right. For me, I'm going Kurt Jones. I think Kurt Jones has been...
If he's available.
If he's not available, you've got Milner, you've got Keita, and you've got... Who's the third one?
Ox.
I'm not arsed. Out of the three, to be perfectly honest with you, I think, you know, Keita has had a bad week. You know, outside of football and a bad half at Atletico, but I don't blame him for that performance at all. I said it on the night, I don't know how many times, but there was three lads there that weren't doing well when we didn't have the ball.
Yeah.
Naby Keita was the easiest substitution because you've got Milner's experience, you've got the captain on the field and you're moving him into his rightful position when you bring Fabinho in. If you've got Milner away at Old Trafford, I'm totally cool with that. And I'm so happy to say that after Ox's performance midweek when he came on,
yeah,
I'd be buzzing to see him again as well.
Yeah.
So let me just say, like, rather than be negative and pick who I wouldn't want, I'd be happy with all three.
Big week for Naby, because obviously we've seen it previously. It was something Neil Jones mentioned on Journal Insight. You know, when he was hooked against Real, that was it for him.
Aston Villa as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. We didn't see him again.
That was him
done for the rest of the season, pretty much after that. Where I don't think he'll do that at this point of the season because there's no point. But we also know Klopp does like to go to lads. No, it's all right. Go and prove me wrong. Like about Dejan Lovren being hooked against Spurs, and then he's in the next week.
Yeah,
because Klopp likes to go. No, go on, prove me wrong. And it's interesting because what Klopp said post match hinted at what we all saw was we were a little bit weak on the side of the midfield that Naby was playing in. But he also then referenced he's played a lot of football in the internationals, and you know that
was it 5 games in 11 days.
Yeah, you know, he needed to. He said, I basically said I got it wrong. The midfield had played too much football. So if that's more the case, it does lend itself to giving Naby a little bit of a, I'm taking you off here, but I'm giving you a crumb of comfort that it's not because you were shite.
Yeah.
It's because I'm maybe looking for a little bit more physicality and you've played a lot of footy, so good work so far.
But it's hard to manage because I'm sure Naby's sat at home going, I want to get back on the football pitch, I want to prove me worth and prove that I'm right. The thing is, just from a fan's perspective, it feels like a gamble whenever you play him. And it's like the first 10, 15 minutes, he scores his amazing goal, which a lot of people seem to have forgotten about, by the way, was an absolute cracker. And then whatever it was, whether it was kind of, you know, the combination midfield that we played didn't suit him, or, you know, credit to Atletico Madrid as well. I don't think enough people were saying that at the time. Their midfield is amazing and they overran us. I'm the same as Chris. If he started, I'd have no concerns at all. No. I don't think. And I was just saying it's a gamble, but also it'd be in himself to kind of want to prove himself, even on like a bigger stage. But it's all down to what the training is. If Kurt Jones has been there all week and he's fine, I know he's staking his claim for his place, then fine.
I like Naby in games where we dominate the ball, and I think we might dominate the ball at Old Trafford.
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit. He has a little bit of a harder time when you've got they're attacking you.
It's just that thing of, does Bruno Fernandes do? Can he do what Lamar was doing? Can he do what João Félix is doing? And would you just is his job if Naby's on the pitch is just go and play around Naby Keita?
My first thing I'd be doing if I was Jurgen Klopp after the game is going to Jordan Henderson and going to James Milner and go, have a little word with him about professional fouls for me, with you?
Yeah.
Mm. Will you? Because Atletico did it all game against us. I've seen United last night do it with Ronaldo. Yeah. You know, that's the tide of the thing where I think players need to step in and go, Naby, in that situation. I mean, Milner's the perfect one, isn't he? Look how many yellow cards I've got here, lad. Do that. Just do that. That's all you need to do. We're not saying get the ball and start an attack. We're saying bring it down and let us get set. So I'd have the players intervening for me on some of this stuff as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do agree with that one. It's an interesting call. I mean, can Curtis Jones, if he's fit, that's a big game to throw him straight back into if he's had a little bit of some injury doubts. And obviously, you know, but players are made in those kind of environments, that'll be a massive boost to someone like him to set a table. Well, is your position in the squad? Oxlade-Chamberlain might feel a bit disappointed because there's a world where Naby's underperformed. If Kurt is a slight doubt, Milner's 35, you know, we're going to ask Milner to go again. Oxlade-Chamberlain might be thinking, again, where do I stand if I'm not being given this opportunity? I think if you've got Fabinho and Hendo in there, I don't see anything really wrong with giving Ox that.
No,
that
go. If you give Keita a rest as well, because what you were saying there before about people when we have a lot of the ball, it's Brighton the week after. There's no harm in playing in that game. Maybe that'll suit him because the template was to sit back.
What you don't want is Keita to go pulled off at half time and then play full 90 against Preston.
Yeah,
that's what you don't want because that looks really bad.
But also, you don't want to get him pulled off at half time against Manchester United.
Yeah, well, and that's the knife edge. That's where the man management comes from in this regard. Is that as Naby?
The problem wasn't
off
Naby's performance per se. It was the lack of Fabinho.
Yeah.
That, and if you frame it like that, someone's got to come off.
Yeah.
And I would have taken any of them off.
Yeah.
I think Ox is a good shout, because I think their weak spot is their centre backs. No, well, it's a dangerous thing to say ahead of the game, but if I'm looking at what we're going to do, are we going to go for the fullbacks? Wan-Bissaka is really good at defending. Luke Shaw's performances and his form past what?
Salah, he's been really good.
Yeah, 6 to 10 months. Well, what are you going to go for? Well, Ox driving midfield, then you've got runners in Bobby Mane, if it is, and Salah in there as well. Aaron Grant was terrible against Leicester. I know he's come back from an injury and he's not right, but if I'm thinking of a weak spot you want to go for, or someone you want to mess with mentally during a game, it's the centre backs.
Yeah. This is the fatalist football fan in all of us, isn't it? We worry too much about what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They've got to worry about us.
Yeah.
Seeing our front three.
Yeah.
They've got to worry about which one's starting, Jota or Firmino, and how do you stop Mo Salah and Sadio Mane? Yeah.
We're all four. I wouldn't do that.
I madder things have happened. Yeah. That might be the answer to who's the third midfielder, because if he doesn't trust it in Ox, and he doesn't trust it in Cater, and Jones isn't fit, and Milner's overplayed, then he might just go all four and might say, fuck it, we're just going to, you know, you're counter-attackers, but this is a game we're just going to go and get one and get done. And that's the thing that's different about recently, like Brentford and Atletico and AC Milan were in danger of being blown away and went, let's keep our heads and let's just keep throwing bodies at this problem, because we might as well. I don't know, with that Old Trafford crowd, I think they will be on a knife edge, and I think there's a possibility that you can kill their crowd off if you do blitzkrieg them in the opening thing. So that's going to be really interesting to see. There's some great super chats I'm going to catch up on. I don't actually get this one from Bazit. One is just Prime equals Coutinho, Torres, Suarez on Mane, Fowler, Salah. There's some great names, apart from maybe Coutinho.
Is that in reference to the Premier League players we talked about before, maybe?
God, yeah, but Coutinho? Wow. Sean Balick, if we had to sell Salah because FSG wants to keep the wage structure, could each of you identify one realistic replacement and how much we'd get back? I think we'd get 100 and something odd million for Salah, and you could literally go and buy anyone you wanted.
But the players that you're talking about, you'd have to break your wage structure for anyway. If it's Haaland or Mbappe, the players that you're naming, you're going to have to break your wage structure anyway.
And then don't do that. Just get Rafinha, get dead upset for 3 weeks, and then continue, just have another player who turns out to be boss for us. And we move on with our lives like we always do.
Let's do that. Let's not sell him.
Yeah, that's not.
Let's break our wage structure.
Yeah. Oh, full dodge, yeah. Is it critical we do not show United too much respect on Sunday? Something we've been guilty of at times at Old Trafford. The opening 20 minutes against Atletico should be the blueprint. Go for it. I agree. I mean, because we were there. We went there to watch us at Old Trafford as reigning European champions, and we shit the bed. I think we shit the bed that day.
Is that the one we had to bring Lallana on to score a goal?
There was a bit of a crappy VAR decision in there for United, of course. But
did they foul Origi on the halfway, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was... And I'm hoping, and this is funny because I'm going to make a case, and then when we do the derby build-up, I'm going to make the exact opposite case for the same point, that hopefully we've broken the Old Trafford hoodoo a bit by doing it in front of no crowd, and maybe we can take something in there. Because to the point, I don't think United are going to be... I think United's style of play is going to be massively different. They will have the crowd, which is a big thing, but I think the crowd can be used... there's a more of a chance of us using it to our advantage. But either way... I will make the opposite point and stuff.
Right, they've come from behind in midweek, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they also watched the day before Liverpool get two goals, pegged back. All right, we'll go on and win it. If you were in the crowd on Wednesday night for United and Liverpool go ahead, I think it fires them up, Paul. I really do, because I think they want another one of those things.
So you're saying don't go ahead?
Just gradually beat them down and make them understand that they don't have a chance in the game, is what I'm saying. Like, suffocate the game. Go 1-0 up after 25 minutes and don't give them the ball for 10. And make them lose hope. It's like, that's the important thing for me. Rather than blitzkrieg them and go 2-0 up, and then the crowd naturally, like, because Manx and Scousers are similar in a lot of ways, then they get fired up. Like, nah, take it away from them. Just beat them down slowly.
Can we do that about 3-0? Because
I
get what you're saying, but me sat at home watching it going,
I'm not saying just 1-0.
Oh, okay.
Like after 25, okay. And then 2 after 50.
Okay, sorry.
But also,
3 after 70.
Your personal comfort is completely fucking irrelevant. Just beat United no matter what. I don't give a shit whether you're comfortable, whether we beat Man United.
Why is he on a cushion
then? We don't win Manchester because that seat's too low and we know it. The question is,
only we knew somewhere to get these amazing Liverpool seats.
Yeah, Providence Five.
We could have got a third.
yeah, it was, we felt a bit cheeky asking for another one and too tight to pay for another one. They are very, very good quality though. But yeah, look, let's have a little look at the Premier League table and how it stands so far going into this one. Man United down in sixth heading into this game. It's mad. I've been saying this all season long. I don't think it'd be funny to sack another United manager. And if they're steadfast that they're not going to sack Ollie regardless, then let's have a 5-0 win to us. But there's a part of me that just wants him to just be good enough to keep his job. So obviously we win, but you know, it's something where they maybe feel like, on another day.
I know, I've got the perfect thing. Dodgy VAR decision win to us, where they go, no, and it was 90th minute as well. It's like, no, we were in the game and that decision was wrong. We get all the thing of a last minute winner,
yeah,
with a shallow penalty.
That's where I think the Atlanta game has helped, because if we just beat them, there's more pressure on them, but it's just won a game. And it's that thing of, okay, there's another 4 weeks of Ollie in the job.
The point that they're at now is that, you know, we're 4 points ahead of them in the table, which is none. It's like, you know, a win for them, and it's there's a point in it, and all of a sudden they're right in the conversation, right at the top of the table, because we're 8 games into the season. But there's two ways it goes, and the eternal optimist, because I know, because I've watched more of Liverpool in that position in the table than I've watched them in the position that they're currently in, where you want to be a title challenge turns into a race for top four. And it's because when you draw those results out over a course of season, that's how you end up with 25-point gaps to the champions. However, if you're in title winning, if you're a title winning caliber side, then you do beat your rivals and get yourself right in. And that's why United are in that awkward position at the moment. I think they will end up by Christmas in a fight where they don't realise it, but all of a sudden, post-Christmas, January, their fans, the conversation around United will be getting back into top four. That will be how the narrative changes.
How do we get ahead of Brighton?
And West Ham.
Everton.
Yeah. No, but that, and that's the thing. But this game for me is that's the first step towards those conversations, and I want them not to realise it, because you don't, because it's not until you get to the end of January and Man City or Chelsea, or you know, us, have floored it and you're miles away and you go, oh friggin' hell, how did we get that far out of the title race? Who's around? Oh God, we need to win the next two games to get into fourth. That's what I think that's what we're all, I guess, hoping for from United's perspective. Let's have another quick look then at the Premier League fixtures going on this weekend. Not that they really matter, because it is the biggest game in the league. Well, maybe it wasn't. Is it still?
Yeah, it still is.
Okay. Chelsea, Norwich, no Lukaku, no Werner. So I would imagine Chelsea will still snot Norwich everywhere, because, you know, Kai Havertz. Although a point made by Errol in our WhatsApp group that I bet Tammy Abraham's laughing his head off at the moment at that. Arsenal, Villa, big game. Yeah, 12:30 Saturday. And the other one, obviously, for us to keep an eye out on is Brighton
City. I'm still baffled that the Arsenal played the Monday night football and the Friday night football. But maybe if they had Europe, they wouldn't have.
Yeah, maybe. Brighton, Man City is 5:30 on the Saturday. You know, Brighton, can they be that team that actually performs to their XG for once? That would be nice.
Lovely, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be just nice? Right, okay, let's get some score predictions. Chris, what do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be 3-1 to Liverpool.
What? 3-1. That's what I was going to say. That's what I had in my mind. 3-1.
3-1 with Man United having taken the lead.
Oh, lovely.
And then we just pummel them. And they all lovely. Go home early, and you get to sing "Show Them the Way to Go Home" after 60 minutes.
Oh, glorious! Right. Please, some of that.
Yeah, right.
And Neville turns on Ollie.
Loads more to come from us right now. Streaming on the RedmenTV.com. The aforementioned Oppo preview with Mark Goldbridge. Steve spoke to a double Olympian, Bianca Walkden. We've got the Liverpool Library with mirror journalist Brian Reid on his new book, and I did a journal insight with Neil Jones as well, talking about the impacts of AFCON and the fallout from the Atletico Madrid game, and a whole host more as well, and injury updates on Thiago and Curtis Jones. So do check that out. Streaming right now on the RedmenTV.com. It's a streaming platform for Liverpool fans. So if you want to get involved, it's like Netflix for Reds. We've got some great stuff and some major revamps happening over there. So perfect time to sign up. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Hopefully the weekend is wonderful too. Chris and I will be back for the watch along. So make sure you check that out. What's he saying? Super chat. Fuck. Chris has got to go. And Armit, my favourite Ollieism is when he was asked in the press earlier this week about Atalanta's approach and tactics. He responded by saying they play the Atalanta way. Amazing. On that bombshell, we'll see you all soon. Ta-da. everyone, mate, cheer. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcast that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Red Men TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com. Sign up there today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.